Good morning. This past week's daf is called Tess in the third parak of Maseches Nedarim, and the beginning of the sugya actually is on Chav Ches. We're going to be discussing the sefer of the Mishnah over here. The Mishnah says like this: Hare netiyas ha'elu korban ad sheyiktitu. Or else, talzu korban asha tisorif. The Mishnah says, "Ein lahem pidyon." The Mishnah is the halacha. The Mishnah talks about is halacha of pidyon, which is something which is related to kedusha. The Ran had discussed this. What I mean, generally in Nidorim, what we're familiar with in Nidorim is an Isser. There's no pidyon on such a thing. Well, what's the concept of pidyon? So the Ran tells us that there are one of two ways how to understand this Mishnah. Either this Mishnah over here is the terminology of Talzu Korban, even though till this point that was just a Hatzfasa, which makes Nidre Isser. However, this Mishnah is talking about a Hakdosha. This is Nidre Hektish, right? The type of Nidorim that the Ram told us on that day is that Amasechta is not discussing. Right? But this Mishnah, according to some Mephoshim, learned that this Mishnah is talking about Ahagdoshon Nidre Hektish, and this was a Kedusha's Domin. The Ran says, I mean, he said a loshna of korban is therefore the type of kedushas domim that we're talking about over here is domim lemizbeach, and we're familiar with that there's two types of kedushas domim. You have kedushas bedekabais, which is not at all directed toward the mizbeach. It's really money which is used for the upkeep in the Beis HaMikdash, in the general sense, whatever goes into that. And then we have something which is to make korban. A person could be makdish, concerning the korban itself, there's two ways how a person can be makdish, the kedushas haguf and the kedushas domin. When a person is makdish a behema, a reza oila, so that's chal, kedushas haguf. On that's not subject to pidyon. A koponim calls man that doesn't have a mum. It's roy the korban. Then we have another type of kedusha, which is dmei korban. Right, so this actually, doesn't have to be on a behema. If he does it on a behema, they might. Might create a kedushas haguf. Ran talks about this later. But let's say, if a person, like in our mission, right, we're talking about teeth and talis, these are things that are not roy for korban at all. So if he says talizu, right, it should be kodesh. For korban, for oilos, so that means that the domin, the value of this is this kodesh and has to be used for a carbon oil. So it means that we'll sell it. We'll get the value of this thing and we will use it for an oil. And so eventually, the value will be used for a carbon. Now, Kedushas Domim has pidyon. And that's what our mission is talking about over here. At the halacha of pidyon. That's one option to understand the Mishnah. That it's Nidre Hektish. The other understanding that the Ram brings is, and Ram introduces us to something within the parasha of Nidrei Iser, the halacha of Koinomos, there's a machlokes Tanoim, whether there's Mi'ila b'Koinomos. The main shita is that there's Mi'ila b'Koinomos. Mi'ila really primarily is a concept taka in Hekdish. Person's Maktish something. So there's Mi'ila. Whatever the guidelines and the conditions are for a Mi'ila. But Mi'ila is a certain type of Issa Hanoah. If someone is Nena, he's Moyel, and there are special Chiyuvim for such a thing like that. There's a halacha of Keren, Chaimesh, and there's a Korban Asham. For someone that is Moyel. Now Rav Meir holds the Yeshmil B'Koinomos, that's Rav Meir Shita, and one has the Chiyuvim of Me'ila, which that might be explained that according to Rav Meir, when a person is basically when his matfis, akopon his matfis, in a korban to create a nether, so that nether. The type of neder that is it really works with kedusha, that the iser that is being created is by creating kedusha on it. It's a kedusha which is limited to the parasha of Nedorim. It's not kedushas mizbeach. It's not kedushas mikdash. There's a concept of kedusha even in Nidorim, and the Isser is a product of that Kedusha. And therefore, that this nether could have dinim of Me'ila. Like the Ran tells us that this is all by Dafka a Koinim Kloli, which is similar to that of Me'ila, which is something which the Isser is all-encompassing. That means if a person makes a koinim to aser something on everyone, if he limits it to really anything less than everyone, right? So then it doesn't have that din.
Were you trying to hint that it's only if he uses a lashon of carbon when he makes the iser with atfasa? If he did atfasa with something else, then there wouldn't be mi'ila? Was that what you
were
trying to say? I heard that a little bit.
Yeah. That was what I was suggesting. Yeah.
But in our mission, it says heredity is a little carbon, so it was atfasa with a carbon.
Right. Okay, so that just gives us the background that's necessary to understand that where does pidyon come from over here? Pidyon and kedusha. Right? So these are the two mahalchim that the Ran tells us, and he works with both of these mahalchim as the sugya goes on. Okay.
I think most Yishonim don't know it's talking about hektish.
Okay. Okay, so now we're learning the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Sefer of the Mishnah says as follows, that, right, so fine, we'll talk in terms of Hektish, just to pick one Mahalch, so we shouldn't have to be Meirich each time. So the Mishnah says, Harin Tis Elu Korban Atri Yiktitzu. So he's making a Kedushas Domim to make carbon on something, on a tis. And he's giving a time limit to the Hakdosha. Actually, or the title of carbon, actually, Tisarif. Is the Mishnah says that then is Ein Lohem Pidyon. Ein Lohem Pidyon, there's no pidyon. So let's see the Gemara. how to understand what this means. Zokt Gimol. Mishnah says Ein Lohem Pidyon, which is something that needs explanation. Ein Lohem Pidyon. At first glance, it says that this doesn't have pidyon. I mean, he made a hakdosh. I mean, at least the kedusha l'chori is chal, right? Till whatever it is. So there should be pidyon. As long as the kedusha is chal. So that's what the Gemara right away is bothered with. Ula oilam zoktaman pirush bitmiya klaima heichev sheshelo yehei lahem pidyon la oilam. How is it possible that there is no pidyon at all? If there's kedusha, there's pidyon. Omar ba podo.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In the ratio when it said yesh lahem pidyon, the Gemara understood that it means that we're basically saying kedushas, that has the kedusha. So, wouldn't the flip side when it says in lahem pidyon means that there's no kedusha?
Isn't that in itself what the Gemara's answer was? That in the safe of pidyon is pidyon. I think that itself is the answer to the question. Otherwise, you have to ask yourself the same question in the sefer. Why does it say pidyon? Talk a lot of Russian of kedusha. That was the original question, and on that thing, Mori is answering that true in the ratio, the issue is really the kedusha, but in the sefer, the issue is the pidyon.
And therefore, in both the ratio and the sefer, there's kedusha.
And therefore. What do you mean with the therefore?
Even though the words yesh lahem pidyon in the ratio really mean there's kedusha, there's hekdesh, in the sefer when it says ein lahem pidyon, it also means there's hekdesh.
It would depend which if it's barpada or ula, right?
Well, and I think just in what you're saying is that I thought the Gemara's gufa being machalik, right? That in the ratio, pidyon is just another word for kedusha, right? That's because in the ratio that's the whole issue, but in the sefer, pidyon is a discussion for pidyon as far as pidyon, not just representing kedusha. Now you want to know something about whether Ein Lahem Pidyon means it's not Kaddish. That's good for what we're saying. That we're not coming to talk about Kiddush. The Pidyon is not just another way of describing the Kiddusha. So on the contrary, we mean to say that even though it is Kaddish, it's Ein Lahem Pidyon.
Therefore, both in the Reisha and the Sefer, it's Hekdash.
Okay, we'll have to see in the Gemara itself the truth of the matter is. Right? Let's see how the Gemara plays out, and we'll see. Right, like Shulman is saying, is that it does make a difference in the different manda on what it would mean, right? And maybe we'll come back to your question, right? We'll come back to your question, and we'll see how it plays out. Okay.
But our pasha study is saying when the terrace of the Gemara when it says because the sefer has to say in the pidyon, there it's talking about the halacha's pidyon. To teach you that when it's something about pidyon dafka, so therefore, even in the ratio, we're not really discussing the halacha's pidyon. We use the same lashon. That's what you're saying.
Zok the Gemara. Omar bar podon. Podon choizos ukudoshos. Podon choizos ukudoshos. Actually, it's its own. But podon says as follows that. The Mishnah over here, and this is really what the issue in the Gemara is, right? A person made a hakdosha ad sheyiktitzu, which should mean that there's going to be a difference somehow in some way to before the ktitza until after the and after the ktitza, right? Because he made the hakdosha till a certain point. So in some way we should see, a changeover at that point of time. So now Barpala says as follows, that this person over here, when he made this hakdosh actually yiktzitzu, so Apoda says that the halacha till the ktitza is that there is a reoccurring kedusha. He makes the hakdosh, so the kedusha is chal. The kedusha, you know, is subject to pidyon, so one can make pidyon. Now, usually, when one makes pidyon, the kedusha comes off of that original place where the kedusha rested, and it comes onto the whatever it is, the moist, wherever he's being helping make the pidyon. As a matter of fact, that the moist really helps it leave. And shine, and that's how it is, right? And shine, once he did that, so now the kedusha is on the new item, and the kedusha is off the original item. However, over here, the original item will have kedusha. Why is that so? Because there is a reoccurring cause to kedusha in this case. Meaning to say that when he was originally makdish it, it wasn't just a one-time hakdasha, but what he did over here was that he wants that it should have kedusha ad sheyiktzitzu. That's how Bapora understands what the Mishnah means that this person is doing. He wants that it should have kedusha, and even if something would come to cause the kedusha to come off, and right now, right in his original hakdasha, he's making a second, a third, whatever, as many are necessary, that the item should have kedusha till ktitza.
When there's a pidyon, it does go off, but then it just comes back on.
You want to know if there's a time period?
So there's a time in between, a couple of seconds when it's puddling.
Probably not. Probably there is no point of time that it's not. It's so really what this thing is, and that's how Bar Poda translates the Mishnah, Ein Lehem Pidyon. Ein Lehem Pidyon means that the pidyon does not accomplish to have the item without kedusha.
So there's no point that it wasn't even for 1 second puddly. So that what's the point in the Gemara makes it sound like you pulled it, and then it's chozer and it's nikdashos. It's like, you know, it's pulled for 10 seconds, and now it goes back and becomes hektish again. It's like a new. But you're saying that it's really hektish the whole time.
When I'm saying it like this is that yeah, right. This thing always has kedusha on it, but just in the mechanics. Why that's so? It's not that original hakdasha is keeping the kedusha on from the original hakdasha. The truth is that the kedusha from that original hakdasha really went off, but immediately there's a new hakdasha which causes it. So we're not going to see any lapse in time of kedusha. Now the difference is, right? So is there any difference at all? Right?
Are the coins that you used for the pidyon?
That's about what we're about to say right now. Right? The difference to this is whether if he would have not been paid it or he did pay it, is not going to show up in the natiyas themselves, but the difference will show up exactly in the coins. Not because if he was not paid it, so the kedusha is on it, and there's no kedusha on the coins, let's say. But over here, we're not saying that kedusha, that the pidyon doesn't help. There is a pidyon, which is kalavir, but it's not accomplishing that the original item should remain kedusha-less. Right? That's what it means. Right?
But the coins do have the kedusha on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Now, what we see over here, right? Just in as a chiddush, just in what one could do. This you see over here, that I mean, really, what's happening over here now is that person, you know, he's standing here at 9 o'clock, right? And he's making a hakdosha. So aside from the hakdosha that's chal right now, 9 o'clock, but at 10 o'clock, when he's poide, it lies within his diba right now, a hakdosha for later. So that would mean that, so let's just bring out that chiddush. That means that, that let's say he at 9 o'clock he gets up and he says, I would like to make hakdosha that should be chal at 10 o'clock. Right? It would seem from over
not
here.
Not now, only later?
Yeah, only later, right? So just we want to bring out the point, so we're taking out of the picture the now, right? Because it's right, just a lot of things are going on. So, but that's an important point that we see over here, that a person...
Isn't that Dabar Shalom Bali Olam? It's Lo Bali Olam that it was Hektish and Padui to be...
One second. So right now we just discussed the first halacha, that if an item is in front of me, I could say that I want to be makdish it, that the hakdosh is bechal at a later date. Right? That's the first thing that we're saying over here. Now Rabbi Yo is being more a different nekuda, and he's saying that in our situation, we're making a hakdosha on something that is gonna is underwent a transition, meaning to say that you have hakdosha number one. Now, while hakdosha number one is still here, you can't make a hakdosha number two, right? And therefore he's asking a question that's loy bola oilam. For example, let's talk about that, right? And we'll see whether this is comparable to that or not. But let's first talk about a more simple case, you know, which I think he's maybe building on. Let's say a person is mocked or something, right? Without any limitations, granted, right? So it's chal the hakdosha, and now he gets up and he says that I would like to make a hakdosha on it after I'm poided, right? So now he goes and he's poided, and the kedusha comes off. But will that second hakdosha be chal? And on that he's being moir that lechayr would seem to be a problem of aloy b'loylam. Because at that point, when he made the hakdosha, it wasn't able to be chal since there was another kedusha already on it.
Didn't we have a gemara on this on Ksubus, where a man wanted to aser to his wife, and then there was a question of if he divorces her and remarries her, and then they went through a whole sugi of selling land and making conditions if I buy it back, and they made a chiluk there if it's biyado.
Okay.
And so when it's biyado, there's no issue. When there's biyado, then there's no issue of lo bala olam. Here it's biyado. All of this is biyado. No.
Okay. Okay.
Am I wrong? Am I remember? Do you remember the sugi I'm talking about? You remember what I'm talking about in Ksubos?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kind of at the end of an Amud Aleph going into an Amud Beis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's we're just opening things up over here, right? Okay, so this is really where this question is coming from. Now, Michael's informing us.
It's not biyado because, let's say, he is makdish it and somebody else is poded.
It's still biyado.
No, it's not biyado. He can't be makdish it a second time because it belongs to Joe.
No, was that take away from the biyado?
It's not biyado to be makdish it a second time.
At this point, right? At this point, he's makdish right now. No one was paid it yet, right? So, is it biyado to be paid it?
Okay. On the rub's muscle, there's a slight difference between the case.
Our case and that case?
The case that the rub gave about where
right.
He had something kodesh and he said that he wants to be makdish it after. After it gets redeemed,
mm-hmm.
Right? So I think the more closer muscle would be that you have something that isn't Kodesh, and he says that I want to be Makdash it at 11 o'clock, and then someone at 10 o'clock is Makdash it. Because when he's Makdash it the second time, it doesn't have Kedusha. He's saying that now I want to be Makdash it at 11 o'clock, and then in between, it became Kodesh, so it went out of his control to be Makdash it, and then came back into the ability to be hekdesh. In the Rav's case, at the time he was makdesh it, he didn't have the power to be makdesh it.
So if I'm following properly, so this is really that's what I was really getting at to make that difference. If you're making the same difference, right? So what I was saying was that the oifin where we find of all olam is when at the time of the hakdosha the problem is already there, that it can't be chal. Right? Now Michael informed us that even in that case there are conditions. If it's biyodai, right, then that's not a problem. Now if I'm following properly, that Shlomo is saying that even if that's true, but in our case it happens to be that at the time of the hakdosha it was fit to be chal. I mean, the first hakdosha was chal, right? So the second hakdosha that he made was made, let's say, we'll call it, at the time when it wasn't kaddish yet. So even if it were to be that it's a problem of a loy bola oilam, in that first case, but there is a mokam lechalik, even without the din of biyadai, and we'll have to reference that sugya over there to see whether these chulukim are true or not, right? But you're raising a point, right? Which we have to smooth out the loybola oilams over here.
When you say biyado, it's biyado for him to be poder. It's biyado that he's in control of the situation.
Biyado means that he could. That I mean, it, in this over here, it's biyado is the pidyon, but the biyado is that he could create a situation that it could be fit for the hakdosha to be chal.
Let's say a man marries a lady, and then gives her a second ketzav kedushin and says, and when I divorce you, this money is the second ketzav kedushin, I'm going to kaddish you again a minute after I divorce you.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
Because he's the one who can divorce her, he's the only one who can divorce her, and he's the one who can be kaddish her again. And no one else can intercede or interfere.
Okay.
With the get, let's say, right? You know, the second hakdosha, the second kedusha. No.
Did you read the whole run on Lamed?
No.
Okay, so this is very complicated. So let's not get into that case. There's a long run. It's like half the page, quarter of the page. So I don't want to get into that question. We met maybe next week. Like, the state of cases that we understand. But.
Okay, but just from today's information, that's all he's saying, right? We're not paskin because we don't have all the pieces of knowledge that we need. But just as far as this is concerned, right? Let's say that would be a case of a biyodai, right?
Would hekdesh also be a case of
other biyodai? Other variables?
Would hekdesh and pidyon also be a case of biyodai?
That's what we're saying, yeah.
Even though other people can interfere.
Other people can interfere.
When you're machdush or somebody else can be poter, then you can't be machdush.
So, but why do you understand that over there? After your megarshus, she could get married to someone else, no? And any reason why that case is better than this case?
Yes, because you're giving her kesef kedushin 1 second after you divorce, so the kedushin goes into effect.
Right, and that's what's happening over here.
Over here, you're.
Oh, someone else is being poter, you're saying? Someone else could be poter. Okay. Okay, that's true, but I don't see that should make a difference in biyadai. I mean, biyadai l'chay just means that you have the ability to take off the ikuv, right? And therefore you have the ability to make the second akdosha, you know, in the proper steps. That's what biyadai means. So therefore, even if you don't do that, you could do it right now. That's what the idea of biyadai is. And you know, whether
I mean, if it wouldn't be that way, nothing would ever be biyado. Just somebody could come and kill you.
Well, nothing is biyado.
That's what I'm saying. If you're saying that it's not biyado, if somebody could come and stop you from doing it, mishum ma, whatever way, then nothing's ever going to be biyado, because as soon as you do it, a guy comes and kills you. Now it's not biyado. So there was never biyado, because the guy could always come and kill you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm in the right cheshbon, but...
Okay, all right. We'll leave that, because that's not really the discussion over here. Right? But, okay, So we are. It's a point that you're raising, and it's something that is definitely necessary to work out. But it's not a direct sugi right now, so okay. We're going to put that on the side. Mm-hmm. Okay, but definitely it's.
Can I just come back to it? Because forgive me for. And the Ron says something over here, which led me to believe that it does go out l'chulin for. I don't know, a split second.
Oh, yeah? Okay, let's hear, yeah.
Because he says over here, Hachinami dehav yehi dumye maktishin, where is it? No, here. Shekashim shenivtiyos haylu lefi she'enon yotzos merishus hektish o merishuso. Matze lekdushinahu. Meaning, he could have just said lefi she'enon yotzos merishus hektish matze lekdushinahu, but he says she'enon yotzos merishuso merishus hektish o merishuso. Why does he have to add that?
So what are you seeing in that?
That this concept that it's chozer v'kodshos is because. I mean, what the point that he's trying to make is that it's always never out of his kind of reshus to do it. It's either reshus hektish or his, as opposed to by an isha where she's in her own reshus.
Mm, okay,
that's the point that the chiluk that he's making. But you know, I guess the point that I was is that if the pigeon didn't take it out of hektish for even a split second, then he didn't have to say Omer Rishuso.
Well, okay. See, the truth is that the point in that rant, it's more than just what he says, because in order to be, let me see for a second. If that's right.
Where are you reading from?
Lamed Amud Aleph. Where it says Ishanami Kishapadu Acherim Domyu. So it's in the wide lines. You go down about five lines down, there's a Divrei Maskil. And then you go to the next line after the Divrei Maskil, right below the Divrei Maskil, it says Shekashem Shanatios Halal Lufish Enon Yosef Mirushusek. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. So I just mentioned the point that I'm touching on over here is that could that second Hakdosh Bichal, if at that point it's not in the reshus of the Makdash?
Oh.
Right? So just maybe a little stronger than what you're saying, that in the mechanics it has to be like that. You know, it has to become his in order for the Hakdosh to be found.
So I would have, yeah, I agree.
But if I understand what the Rebbe is saying, is that it's continuous, being that it comes to his Rishos for 0 seconds.
Okay, so now right? I got to speak to the numbers people exactly what that means.
Right? In the right?
Zero or
So
is zero amashu? You're calling zero amashu at this point?
I'm saying that it happens bevasachas. It's that it leaves his rishus and goes back and say. But there's no way. But let's say if we were talking meila, there's no way that you can like throw a dart and get that 1 second to not be chayiv meila. It happens at the same time that it goes to your rishus and goes back out.
Oh, but it has to come to your rishus
for some
because that's the power to be matish.
The question is can we say that?
Okay.
Right. So that's whether there's a time frame in that or not. You know, the Yoide Dover will tell you whether that's considered at this time. But in the mechanics, right? You're right. You know, that's what's happening over here. It's coming back into Rishus, and being that you put into play you know, a hakdosha. So, you know, there's no time that you have to wait for him to do it, right? So, you know, so it just continues on, right? You know, so as far as we're concerned, you know, there's a smooth continuation, even though really things are happening, right, during that
plus
time.
If it wouldn't go into Ezra Shus for 1 second, then the money would not be, wouldn't turn into Kedusha. The money would not become hektish. The money used for the pidyon wouldn't be Tovah's Kedusha if there wasn't, if it wouldn't cause it to go to Ezra Shus for 1 second. It was continuously hektish.
I don't understand what it has to do with the pidyon.
You had this question of whether the money was kedushos or not.
Right.
So he wants to say, I'm going to try to say what he's saying in the opposite way, the converse, so it wouldn't necessarily follow one from the other. If it actually comes to his reshus for mishum, you know, amashahu, then it seems as though that money then is going to have kedusha. He wants to say the other way. If it would never come to his reshus for even amashahu, then for sure the money would never have any kind of a kedusha.
Right.
That's what he wants.
Right.
To say.
Right.
He's trying to do a pinyon, but it's continuously hektish. Then the pinyon didn't.
Well, so 1 second. So let's slow down the video over here,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And let's see how
frame
it works.
By frame.
Right, right. The pinyon removes the kedusha from the item onto the money. Now we want to know that item whose rishus is in. Right? Did it become into his rishus for a moment or not? It right away became hektish without coming to his rishus. So I don't see why that's dependent on the pidyon. The pidyon is fine, right? Right. I don't see how the pidyon is going to tell me that it came into his rishus.
It was continuously in hektish's rishus.
Now continuously. What I'm saying, what we're discussing right now is that, I mean, definitely there is a pidyon. And we're just discussing now that the second hakdosha, does that happen even without the item coming into his rishos, or that's only if it comes into his rishos? That's what we're discussing. We're not anymore working with a possibility that the original kedusha is continuing on. That we're past, of course. There's no pidyon if the original kedusha is still here. So the pidyon indicates that the original hakdosha is off. Right, our discussion just is that the new kedusha, right, is that new kedusha chal even before it comes back into his rishus, or it'll have to first come back to his rishus, and that will be necessary for the new kedusha to be chal. That's what we were discussing right now.
So in my mind, I could be totally off, but in my mind, it's not a pidyon if it didn't go into his rishus for a second.
I'm just trying to see how that follows. Is that necessarily one's mechayev the next?
Because if it's not a pidyon, if it wasn't yotzei mirshus hektish into his mirshus, that's what pidyon means. That thus his pidyon. That's what pidyon is.
He's makdish right away. I mean, if he didn't have to come into his mirshus in order to be meichel the second hakdosha. I wouldn't see the problem, right? The kedusha went off. Is it intrinsic in pidyon? Is it intrinsic?
Takes the kedusha off, and it makes it that it's not hektish for that moment.
Right, but not hektish and coming into your rishus. Is that a hainu haf?
Who does it belong to for that second? It's hefker. Who does it belong to for the second when the hektish goes off?
So that's
you're making the second. It doesn't have to be a second.
Right.
It has to be a second.
No, that's the. I mean, that's the that the Rebbe is saying. I mean, you could say such a svara that you need a second, but
if you need a second, but the issue, it's not something I think that it's in the pidyon. I think the issue is that if you want to be makdish it again, you can only be makdish it if it's in
yours.
Yours. Yeah. Right. So that
I don't even think it's a pidyon if it doesn't go into
your shoes. Again, I could hear such a svara, but I don't find that svara muchrach. In other words, it's possible such a svara that if there's not a period where the kedusha, you know, that where it becomes not kodesh, then the pigeon doesn't work. But you don't have to say that,
right? That I guess you could just think about that question. You know, is it possible for a person to make a pigeon that it should not end up in his rishos? Right, the pigeon should take off the kedusha, right? And fine, let it be hefker. Yeah, right.
What if he says, "I'm put of this almanas that it stays hektish"?
So that's now state the original hakdasha.
Yeah, there's something that needs a pigeon.
So that's probably a contradiction, right?
Oh, okay.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So
pigeon means you're taking off the kedusha.
I mean, at the end of the day, it seems like we're really agreeing. It's just a question of why. Everybody, you're saying that it has to, if it doesn't come into his, he can't be makdish if it doesn't come into his rishus.
But he's
claiming that it's the pigeon. If it doesn't come to your rishus, it's not a pigeon.
So we
all seem to agree that that it is coming into his rishus and then going back again.
Right,
but there's a disagreement about maybe the lumbus of why.
Right. Okay.
But it's more than that, right? I think what you're saying is that there has to be a mashu of time, you know, a toch kidei dibur, where it becomes not kodesh. Whatever shiur you want to make, right?
Think of it as a door. Does it, and he's pulled it, now it can go out the door with the pigeon. Does it become kaddish again as it tries to exit the door, or as it exits the door?
But I think that's what the difference between, you're thinking what the Rav is saying. The Rav says that there doesn't really have to be is that you can have two things happen, b'vasachas, that comes into rishus, goes out of rishus, b'vasachas. And you're saying that, no, unless there's a physical time, you're saying
like
a second, but that's...
Is that git over the other bank, yachad?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, Rabbi Weinstein? Is that what you're saying? I didn't hear that.
That wasn't so much what I was stressing, but that it could be that Shlomo is following the thought through, and that maybe is what we're saying over here. If you want to vacuum out the period of time.
So it might happen simultaneously. That's what you're saying. Wow.
Okay, that I have to think about. I wasn't intentionally saying that, but it could be that might be what needs to be said. If you want to understand like that. Okay, so we're back over here, right? We're back over here, and we're learning this piece, which is rather not even the focus of the sugya, but it's an important piece. I'm trying to make a big point about it. So let's hear this again. Right, so Bapoda is translating the Mishnah. Ein lahem pidyon. What's the ein lahem pidyon? Right, he doesn't understand over here. What's ein lahem? I mean, if there's kedusha, there's pidyon, right? Right. What is it? What does ein lahem pidyon mean? And you know, what's the difference between Adjudicitsu? He said he gave like a time limit to what he did. What is that? So Bapoda says that it must be like this, that being that by part of the holds that you can't limit, you know, the kedusha itself that you're making, so it must be that there's something else going on over here that has the time limit, which is the reoccurring kedusha that he's setting up over here, and that reoccurring kedusha is limited in time. Achiyiktitu. So he's making a hakdasha. This hakdasha, if not touched, you know, will just continue on even after ktitza. Right? Kedusha l'pakam b'chti. It'll continue on. And however, what he did over here in the ad sheyiktitzu, what lies in that is that he wants that these netiyush should have kedusha. Whatever it takes, I want that should be in the state of kedusha till ktitza.
And if he said that if I'm poded, that I'm makdish it again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants, right? He wants that it should be constantly in the state of kedusha, which would therefore would mean that if there's something that comes along which causes the kedusha to go off, right, I'm creating a second hakdoshin right now that should be chal immediately, that it should maintain the status of kedusha ad sheyiktzitzu. Right?
So if somebody else is called there.
So if he doesn't have the ability to do that, if someone else is paid it, if that's according to what we're saying right now, so then he can't help.
So therefore, what happened to his original little thing?
He said something that he can't do.
Well, now isn't this a right that it has to come into his rishus? Poda acherim. If that it's chozrus for kodeshus is because he can be makdish it while it's still hektish, then even poda acherim should help, because when they do the pigeon, it's still at the point that it's still hektish. He's makdish it. They don't. It's not in their rishus yet, so they can't stop him from doing it.
So what do we know? What do we know about
poda acherim?
Do we have any information on
that? I assumed at this point, since we were discussing that, we knew that poda acherim doesn't work.
I don't have any information. I really was saying that based on what we discussed already. That being that it has to come into his rishus, that's really why I was developing. So according to what we're discussing, that if that's true, that in order for the second hakdosh to be chal, it has to come back into his rishus. So if someone else would be paid it, and therefore it would enter someone else's rishus, so then his hakdosh wouldn't be able to work. So what he originally said, just he's not going to have the conditions that it could work, right? But he still said what he said, right?
Or maybe it never was hektish in the first place.
What does that
mean?
Because
his original hektish was that it should be a hektish from now until it's chopped down. And if it's laching in being hektish,
is it one hektosha or it's multiple hektoshas? Now, unless you understand that he's saying that I don't want to make the first hektosha if my second hektosha is not chal, that's what you have to assume in order to say what you're saying.
I want
to
be
happy
from now until I chop it down.
But that won't work with the Mishnah, right? What? Because then it shouldn't be that if he was poded, it automatically goes back into his shoes. It would be if he poded it, then it was never kodesh.
Right, and then the guy gets his money back.
Yeah, or whatever. The whole thing didn't work. The whole thing didn't start. Yeah.
Well, if we say that a sa'achir being poda it now makes it that the original kedusha was never chal, because that was the way he wanted to do it.
Right.
So this pigeon isn't even a pigeon, because it was never kaddish.
Right, but I'm saying that.
So now you're getting into a circle.
But I'm saying that the same logic would apply if he himself,
why would that be?
What?
Why would that be? I mean, even if you say that he conditions his first akdosha in the second akdosha, but when he himself is poided, then the second akdosha is chal.
It depends, like how you view it leaving and going back into to his rishus. If we understood it as a tanai in being makdashet, is that it stayed kodesh until it was cut down. And again, however you want to define it, the 1 second or 0 seconds that it came out of Hekdesh, so then it's Tanai Wevan Kayim, and and they were taken away.
I think that we don't mean to say, his condition, even according to W.O. saying, there's some condition over here which you could question. But even if there is a condition, I think the condition would just would be not getting into the milliseconds, right? Uh-huh. You know, the condition would be that, you know, that it could continue, right? If someone else has played it, it's not going to continue, period, right?
Okay.
Right? Okay. Okay, but making condition out of that, you know, that is something that's definitely not something that has to be, right?
I mean, clearly our mission is not talking about that, right?
Well, that's what we're discussing. Our mission is talking about that.
Our mission is, he's saying it is chozer v'kushus.
Right,
but he's saying that you
know, not, someone else.
He's saying if an achir was poded,
someone else is poded. That's
it retroactively.
It was never
okay, but who says no one is saying that happened?
Yeah, no, he's talking to about ahead of our Mishnah. That's not what
our Mishnah is discussing. Yeah, fine, okay. So, our Mishnah is clearly not saying that case because nobody suggests what you're saying, but maybe there could be such a case, right? Am I wrong?
He's just discussing what would be if someone else played it. Right? Our Mishnah is speaking him, right, with himself as played it.
I mean, okay, all right, but I'm saying even if somebody, even it seems clear in the Ran and the Gemara later that even if somebody else is boded, that doesn't mean that there was never kedusha in the first place.
Okay,
the Gemara seems to be clear that way.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, fine.
So,
Okay, so, right. I mean, the truth is that as we're saying, I don't see any reason why we should assume that there's a condition. Right, and you bring the right. It's not okay. Fine. Now, okay. So let's hear again where we are. Right, so according to Bar Poda, so there's two points. There's two points over here. One point is that such a thing could be such a person could be makdish something in the future, and therefore a person also could make a ma'isa hakdosha which will have in it multiple ma'isa hakdoshas, one for now and one for later, right? Whenever as many are necessary, right? That's what is referred to as the recurring hakdosha. And Bapoda holds that when a person says that it should be kodesh anshe yiktitzu, that lies in what he's saying.
Just repeat that.
That Bapoda says that when a person says that something should be kodesh anshe yiktitzu till the ktitza, that is what he's saying. I'm making a reoccurring kedusha right now.
That if I'm pointed, it's good. It becomes kedusha
right later. Now, l'chayra like this, right? I mean, the Ran tells us that the reason why this is what he's saying is because there's no other way of understanding what he's saying. Maybe the simple translation of the words might seem to suggest that he only wants the kedusha to last this long, right? Without pidyon, right? Just only that last time. But that can't be. There's no such thing.
According to Bapak.
Right.
Because of Lopaka Bikti.
Right. Being that that's so he's saying actually Iksitsu in, he's referring to something that is relevant. And then this is how it could be relevant. Now, maybe we could wonder to ourselves that, I mean, this is an intention, right? And if he says that's what his intention was, then we could accept it. But let's say this person, you know, doesn't really know, right? And he really thought that, you know, he wanted to makdish it till there, right? Right, so
he wanted to go off automatically.
That was his intention. Right, he didn't know. Right, he didn't know otherwise. Right, so in such a case over here, right, it's hard to say that the words intrinsically mean a choizer v'kaitches. Right, so l'chori, you know, he has to have you know the lave in mind that's what he's saying. If he doesn't have that in mind, then I would think that shine. It's in the kedushas chal, and if you poide it, shine. You know, it's off. It's not going to come back. And if you're not poide it, it will just continue, right? According to the halacha, right? So what would be ma'ir over here is that this halacha that Bar Pada has, maybe everyone has such a halacha, right? That it's chayz v'koyches, and this we'll see. It really is takatol in. You know, and we'll see what that
we're
but akoponim, at this point, we'll see whether things change. But at this point, we want to know, this that when he says achi yiktitzu, that these words are used as a cause of a reoccurring hakdasha. Does the person, have to have in mind that's what he's doing or not? So we're being worried that l'chayda, these words don't intrinsically mean this. Maybe they mean this because they can't mean something else. But that doesn't affect him. Right? What he means, and that doesn't intrinsically change the definition of the words. Right, so therefore we're being murdered that l'chayr, this is only going to help if this is really in truth that what he had in mind.
Why would it matter what he had in mind? Isn't that Torah Shabbalev?
No, well, I mean, these words could have such a translation, right? Then Torah Shabbalev is only if it's a contradiction to what he's saying. So we're assuming that, granted, that this could be an understanding of what he's saying. And it could be that the halacha maybe will have a bearing over there. That being that the halacha is that he couldn't possibly mean this because that doesn't work. So that's what opens up for us to work with the lev, the other translation, right?
I mean, if he had an intention that it would be paka bichti, and the halacha is lo paka bichti.
Right.
The way you understand is that would not be called, or maybe there's no concept of hektish betos, that there wouldn't be a kedusha at all.
Okay. So that's a possibility. That's a possibility. That's another facet of this.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll have to think about that. We'll have to see whether we have a right to that in the sugya. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay,
so I think we do have a raya in the sugya, right?
A raya to...
That we don't say it's a hektish betos because the Gemara compares it to marrying a girl for a day. And it says that, would we say that she goes, that she doesn't get,
that she goes without a get.
Yes, it doesn't say that the marriage is a kedushin betos.
Right. That's true.
Someone's done
roll
today.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have a raya. Maybe we might need to understand why taka that so, right? But okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is Bar Pada and his understanding of the Mishnah. Now let's see. Zokta Gemara. Gemara says further. Ula Omar. Kivan sheniktitzu shuv.
When the words elam pigan according to Bar Pada means before their nixasus.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Ein Lahem Pidyon, right, the translation for Ein Lahem Pidyon means that the pidyon is not going to accomplish to change the status of the Netiyos that they should be in a status of non-kedusha.
No
pidyon is going to stick.
You can be pulled it, but it'll go back to become Akdash again. It won't stay puddling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's see Ula. Zok the Gemara of Ula Omar Kivon Shenitzitzu Shuv Ein Poidin. Ula says, Kivon Shenitzitzu Shuv Ein Poidin. There's no pidyon after, once it's Kaddish, there's no pidyon anymore. Why is there no pidyon? Anytime something is Kaddish, there's pidyon. The reason is because he holds that the Kedusha only lasts till Tzitza, and once the Tzitza happens, the Kedusha goes off, even without pidyon. Now that there's no makdusha, so it's not poidable, right? You know, your moist that you want to transfer the kedusha on, but won't become kaddish. That's the halacha of ein lahem pidyon. Beforehand, so according to Ula Lachaira, we're gonna accept what he says. Kipshuta. That he made a hakdasha till a certain point. Fine, the kedusha is only chal till that point. The ein lahem pinyon, the Mishnah says, is that since there's no kedusha, so there's no pinyon.
And it's talking about after the nitzatzos.
Right. Now let's right, we'll see whether what we're saying now is another way of cheshbening, but let's go back to Rabbi Yehu's Ha'ora. According to Bar Pada, the halacha of Ein Lahem Pidyon, you know, is really a whole different halacha, right? It's not an indication, right, of not having kedusha. It's not an Ein Lahem Pidyon because there's no kedusha. Right? On the contrary, right? The idea is Ein Lahem Pidyon that like we're saying, the pidyon doesn't help to keep in the status of poda. That's what that halacha is. So according to Bar Kapara, the Mishnah has to talk pidyon. Ain't that pidyon? That's specifically what we're saying. So that's what the Mishnah meant before. I did the ton of sefer ain't lehem pidyon in terms of pidyon. That's why in the ratio we spoke like that. But now let's see. According to Ula. What is the Ein Lahem Pidyon mean? Ein Lahem Pidyon really means b'chayra, that there's no kedusha, right? After, once it's kotzitz, there's no more kedusha, right? And that's why it's Ein Lahem Pidyon. So l'chayra, right? This is maybe what he was heading out to be ma'ir, that according to Ula, the Mishnah l'chayra could have said in the Sefer itself, could have said that they're not Kaddish, right? Because that really is the point.
After it's cut off.
Right. So that's what he wants to know. So the Gemara's question over there, had the Gemara answer the question, according to this, right? We blamed it on the Sefer, but the Sefer itself, according to Ula, right? Okay, that's a Ha'orah. Now, this question, and maybe other things, are also dependent on like this. let's discuss this machloikis that the Ran brings, right? Ran brings machloikis to be shown over here, which discusses there are two points, right? That are come out of the sugya. There's a what a point that Bar Pada definitely is working with, the recurring kedusha, and then we have the point about the initial kedusha. Let's say, right? You know, is it a temporary kedusha? Is it poka b'chdi or not poka b'chdi? Seemingly two different points. So. The Ran brings a shayla to Mishnayim that are there two machlekes in over here? Let's call it that right now. That meaning to say that according to Bar Pada, there's a reoccurring kedusha. That's what's happening, and the kedusha is not poka b'chdi, and it'll require a pidyon after ktitza. Whereas according to Ula, that there's no, the Kedusha is a temporary Kedusha, and once he gets to Ketzitza, the Kedusha, you know, stops, and we don't need pidyon. But what about until then? What about until then? Does Ula agree or argue about till that point? Do we have the reoccurring Kedusha or not? Now, really, we could talk about this Shaila on two fronts. Meaning to say that we could discuss it, you know, in the essence of the din. Meaning to say that does Ula hold that such a thing could work, right? You know, that granted that it was spoke out, you know, clearly, that is what I want to do, right? Right?
So every time I'm told, I want it to be closer.
Right. So it's not, right? Right? So, you know, Ula doesn't talk about this, right? So if he'd be arguing on that, is it because he holds that you can't do that? You can't do such a thing? That's one possibility. Right? And even if he would hold that you could do it, but the question over here might be is that's not what you're doing. Or maybe who says that's what you're doing. Right?
And according to that tzad, then even if your poder before was cut off, it would not be chozer v'nikdashos.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It would stay chula.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Now, the Ran brings a Rashbu, right? A little sword inside over here. Let's just maybe see it just a little bit inside, just that it should have some solid ground over here. Okay, you see the Ran? We're in over here in the Ran Divri Hamaschil V'Ula Omar. Right, we'll start from over there. V'Ula Omar, Kiv Shniksu Shuv Ein Poidin. The sphere lay she'en kedushasan imsheches ela ad oisiz man shehekdishan av oisiz man ve'elech paka kedusha bichti. So let's just mention over here. Now, the Gemara talks the term of kedusha paka bichti, right? But really, what we're discussing over here, and according to Ula, the pshat is that I mean, he's making a kedusha l'zman. That's really the issue over here. Right? Could a person make a contained kedusha only to a certain point? If you hold that kedusha is not paka b'chdi, it means that even though you try to make a hakdosha, a limited hakdosha, but you can't. Your limitation is not going to cause it to stop. Once it's chal, then you know it's not in your control to limit it. Right? That would be what the issue is. And okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. Let's just talk about this first. Then we want to see Zokteran. The cost of Raj Bazal. The ula lepol gad rapodo elu b'la'achar sheik tzitzu. Zokteran that there is only one machlekes over here. Concerning kedusha paka bechdi, as far as the achash sheyiktitzu, the bar podo loy paka kedusha bechdi. According to bar podo, the kedusha doesn't go off, you know, without something taking it off. The hainu pidyon ulula paka, avol ad sheyiktitzu lukli amo podo nchoizes ukedoshes. That, however, everyone agrees to the reoccurring kedusha. Now listen to this. V'hayo dekatoni ein lohem pidyon. Oh, okay.
That answers Eliyahu's question.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, Michael says that is right. He's on the ball over here. Very good. Okay, so now this. So the Rashba tells us that there is no machlekes, and that's what the Mishnah means, right? When the Mishnah says that ein lohem pidyon, ein lohem pidyon is referring to the reoccurring current kedusha. That's even according to Ula, that's what the translation of the Mishnah is. Now, once that's so like Michael is saying, that the same way we're saying that according to if the Mishnah is common to discuss the Rikha and Kedusha, that's something which is, you know, we have to talk in terms of pidyon. That's and that's why that's good in the Sefer, right? So this question that we're saying, right? I think you know, it is a raya to what the Rajb is saying, right? That the you see from the Gemara that the translation of the Mishnah Lachara has to be Ein Lahem Pidyon, means that there's a reoccurring kedusha. That has to be the translation in order for the Sefer to need to talk in terms of pidyon. So fine. So then he holds like that also, and you know, there's no machlekes, and the whole machlekes is really a side point. Now I wonder that I mean, according to Ula, you know, is there any reference in the Mishnah to his halacha that la'achak titza, you know, it's poka, right? To that halacha, or not? Meaning to say that does the Einlam Pidyon refer to two points in the Mishnah? According to Ula, there's a second thing also.
Meaning that it also means lo tzarich.
Yeah, right.
The way I learned it before the Rav,
yeah,
said it, is the reason why Ula said it is because Abraham Pidyon fits more into his lashon to talk about the Pidyon afterwards. But now we're making Mahara that he's talking about beforehand. Mm-hmm. So then, where did Ula get it from?
Right.
Everything you're saying is only true according to the Rajba, according to Moshe Kartovi.
Right. Yeah, can't right. We're looking at Rajba right now. Right? So according to this, right, like Shlomo was saying, is that, I mean, Ula's not going to get it from the Mishnah, because the Ein Lahem Pidyon Mishnah, you know, refers to the recurring Kedusha, and now we could be satisfied with that. You know, no reason not to say that it means more than that. Right. So
you're saying it's a side machlok, because there really is nothing to do with the Mishnah at all. They just brought it here.
Not necessarily, right? So I mean, so Ula might decide, you know, to put it into the Mishnah also, but you know, you can't get it from the Mishnah, right? Right. You know, if you hold like that, then fine. You know, you could put it into the Mishnah that a second mashmois in what the Tana is saying, but you wouldn't be able to take it out of the Mishnah, right? Right. But now there is going to be a question, and this is really just wondering whether we should see it there. Okay, but we could even see it now, because we could really according to Ula, let's just speak this through over here. Is that I mean, if this is all true, right? We're accepting what it says over here, that Ula agrees, in this case, there's a reoccurring Kedusha, so there is no machlokes what's going on until Ktitza. The whole machlokes is at the point of Ktitza, whether the Kedusha goes off without opinion, or the Kedusha will only go off with opinion. Fine. Right? But the difference between Ktitza and not Ktitza refers to means two things, really. So what we want to ask really over here is that according to Ula, that when the person says Acha Yiktitsu, you know, how did it come to mean all of this, right? I mean, it means two things now, right? Acha Yiktitsu. Right, how did it come to mean that? Bishlam, according to Bar Poda, that even though probably the simple translation of Acha Yiktitsu is, you know, giving a time limit to the Ikar Hakdasha, that can't work. Okay, fine. So therefore, this must be what he means to say with the words, right? And fine, like we said before, like, you know, if this is what he meant, fine. You know, then that will go into what he's saying. But according to Ula, if I mean, had it been two things,
then why not?
How do we make it? Does it intrinsically mean two things? few minutes. According to what we started with, maybe we have to change our hanochas. But we started with in Bar Poda that actually Yiktitzu really, right? And we'll see, right? And I think we're going to have to change this, right? According to this, right? But that's what we want to get to. And as we're starting that, actually Yiktitzu, we're assuming right now, really means one Kedusha that's lasting temporarily, right? Till a certain point. If it can't mean that, then it can mean something else. Now, if that's true, so then according to Ulu, we're not going to understand why should it mean that according to Ulu? Because Ulu does have a temporary hakdasha. So, that's what the words will mean. And,
but can't you understand, meaning, I'm not trying, this is going to sound like I'm getting into the din of the Rashba of Mominus, but that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay? If you say to somebody, I'm letting you use this until Tuesday, I mean, doesn't it go both ways? That if after Tuesday comes, you say, you have to give it back to me, because I said only until Tuesday. And if you had come to get it back on Monday, the guy said, no, you said I could use it till Tuesday. You can't say, oh, I meant just up until Tuesday, but maybe less. No, you said I could use it till Tuesday.
Well, let's say the guy returned it on Monday, and then he comes back and says, I want to use it again Monday night.
Okay. I mean, that's the question of the Rashba. So I was trying not to get into that. I was just trying to get into what the words themselves mean.
I'm just saying I don't know. You gave it back to me. So now you turned it.
There's a difference, and I think this is the same point, but the difference is that there's a din of pidyon in Hekdesh, which when you lend something, there isn't a specific din of unlending, except, and I guess the example would be, is that if he gave it back, that might be the unlending, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's I would think, is the point over here. So it's not all in the same. It would seem to me that there's two different intentions over here. And if our original hanocha is right, that everyone agrees that the simple understanding of such a thing is a time limit, and you know a reoccurring idea is not something that this lotion necessarily suggests, unless. There's no other way of understanding it. So then, according to Ula, there's no reason. Even if Ula agrees in theory that you could do such a thing if you express it clearly, but when this was the expression that was said, so you know you mean till there, and the simple translation pagabechti, and nothing more is going on, right? Right. So according to this, I think that at least according to Ula. Is concerned, right? You know, how much we have to change over here is, but according to Ulu, the Chari, we're going to have to say that the actual mashmois of these words takalaws both ideas. And when you say this, you know, both ideas are expressed, and that's how. Yeah. Right? I believe according to the Rashba, right, that's what we're going to have to say. Right, in order for this one zog, right, one expression, right, to have two ramifications, right, that's because this is what this suggests. Itaka suggests both, right, and you know possibly according to this, then we don't have to make maflekis. Maybe going back to Barpod, maybe he also agrees that you know it has this double mashmois. But you know it doesn't help. It can't work. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. That lechur will have to be according to the Rajbus Cheshbainus.
I mean, there is a huge nafkamina even for Bar Poda. Meaning, he's not saying. Maybe it's not a nafkamina, but maybe it's just in Lumdus. I mean, it seems to me Bar Poda wasn't saying that you didn't end the Kedusha. Yitaka ended it. It just can't be. As opposed to once you're makdish it, that's a hektish lolam until you do a pidgin. It seems like, I mean, you hear him saying the two different ways of learning it?
Meaning, okay, that's a point. We'll have to see, Taka, if it happens, but Michael is saying a good point. See, according to the way we were originally saying, and we'll see that that's the other sheet in that, he's only saying one thing here, right? The question is, what is that one thing that he's saying? So, let's say, according to Baal Tanya, if he can't be saying that the Kedusha should end, you know, so he must be saying something else. But once that's so he's talking about putting an end to the Kedusha, right? You know, the reason why the Kedusha is not Paka Bechti is not because using the halacha of Paka Bechti. You only need to use that halacha is when you actually make a temporary Kedusha and kings on. But over here, that we're translating his words ad shi'iksu to refer to the reoccurring. So he never put a cap on his words. Oh. So I don't even need to use the din of Pakti today, right? Because mm-hmm. he didn't do that.
Well,
right?
but he did put a cap. He put a stopping that when it's cut down
in the reoccurring, but not in the extra kedusha.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a point. We have to see whether that's relevant or not. But according to that, right, that's what it would mean. We're not actually using the halacha of the Paka Bechti over here, because according to Barpada, that's what you could have said, right? But according to what we're saying right now, that's right. It's possible that, you know, according to everyone, it means both. Right? And if it means both, so according to Barpada, we're talking using the halacha of the Paka Bechti to explain why it will continue further, and you should need a pidyon. Right, very good point. Okay. Now the Ran, let's jump down to the bottom over here. B'hachocham agodl, right? You see that over there? It's like five lines from the bottom in the old print. B'hachocham agodl Moshe Kotevi Zal. They're actually arguing in two points. And they're really dependent on each other. As follows. The reason why point about Pada, the Aloch over here, is really a product of this that he holds the Paka Bechti. The Ilav Hochi, let's see how he says this over here. The Ilav Hochi, if it wasn't so,
the Ilav Hochi, that it wasn't that Chos was with cultures?
Yeah, right, if he didn't mean to say that, Lomale Lahagavra Lemema Achi Yiktitsu. Right, what is the relevance of Achi Yiktitsu? Im Lemish Lacha Mikan Teklusha Paka Mimela. If Itaka means to give a time limit to the existence of the Kedusha, that's impossible. Kedusha lepaka labachti, it doesn't go off. The Kivin shekem, loma lehekdish lechluten. So if that's so, then, you know, what does he want with this Acha Yiktitsu? Right? We're assuming that he knows the halachas over here. Right? So for that matter, he just should have said, So that's what it is, right? That according to him, it's the reason why we understand what he's saying is that there should be a reoccurring kedusha is really because it can't mean otherwise. It can't mean what maybe the simple translation would have been, that giving a time limit. Therefore, the halacha of the Mishnah, when it says pinyon, doesn't mean that actually he put a cap on the kedusha, and the kedusha goes off, and it's not necessary to make a pinyon. That the pinyon doesn't accomplish to change the status ad yiktitzu. That is so. So, according to Barpada, right, there's a dependency one on the next. That the reason why we understand in what he said that there should be a recurring kedusha is because that's all Achi Yiktitzu could mean. It can't mean what maybe the simple translation of the words might have meant. The Ullah argues on that original premise. The what was an impassibility according to Bar Pada is could be according to Ullah. Kedusha is pachah bechdib kimish gain. The Ullah zeh sha'ama actually exists. Who this person is actually is loy bo loy mar. So when he said actually, he doesn't mean to refer to no reason to think that he's referring to a recurring kedusha. He means simply that kedusha should be just till that point of time. The kedusha should go off.
So he can mean that that reoccurring, but he's saying that it's not necessary to say that. I guess this reoccurring thing is a big chiddush to say that Pada and Chozer ben Ekdashos is a very big chiddush.
Chiddush in weird.
In a din, in to din? Say that, that once you're poded, it right away becomes hektish again. It's a very big chiddush.
Well, one second. See, this is an important point. This is what we discussed before, that if Ullah argues, right, is he arguing because he doesn't hold that such a thing could be, even if one were to express it explicitly, or he's not arguing on the din? The question just is that what's being said over here? Is
I
he,
mean
is
the second one.
Okay. Oh, so when you're saying it's a big chiddush, what do you mean?
It's a very big chiddush to say that what he said is hektish until I cut it down or until it's cut down. To mean that Chazur is Benikdashos, that's a very big chiddush.
When you say chiddush,
it's not pashut to say that way.
Because the words don't that's not the number one translation of the words.
He's makdash it over again. He was quoted them that normally, unless he specifies and spells it out, the most people when they makdash something, they don't mean reoccurring.
That's how I naturally went to sugya. Is that was the drawing factor for Bar Pada?
Bar Pada is stuck,
yeah.
And there's only one way to touch the words. In my opinion, it means that they're reoccurring, and that's how he has to explain the Mishnah, because it's all based on the fact that he holds that kedusha lo pachah b'chdi. Ula can also type the Mishnah that way too, even according to Moshe Kartavi. They're only forcing him not to say that there's two machlokes going on, and that he agrees with Bar Pada in before it's cut off. They're only forcing him. It's just that Mehechet Hesi, you should say the Chiddush that is reoccurring when you could type it otherwise, and you can say that. Before it's cut off, you can say you're pointed. That's it. What does the Mishnah mean? Why did he say Ashik Sasuzu? He said that because after you cut it off, it's the Kedusha Pachah B'chdi.
I think your only disagreement is where you're learning it from. You're saying because most people don't mean that.
Right.
The Rav is saying because the normal interpretation of those words isn't that.
No, but I'm saying the Rav is saying that. According to Moshe Kartavi, the Ula and Bar Pada have to argue on two things. They don't have to argue on two things. Really, 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 you could say that they agree about Chozer ben Ekdashos. Really,
so you're asking a question on this?
I'm not asking. Telling you why I think. I hope I'm right, but I'm telling you why I think. I think the reason that he's taking on that Ula argues on Bar Pada in reference to the Chozer ben Ekdashos, because it's not necessary to say that, even according to Rav Moshe Kartavi. Just because they argue whether Kedusha is Pachah B'chdi, doesn't, you can touch Ula that he says beforehand.
That is what he's saying. Maybe exactly what the dependency, but he's definitely saying that. He's saying that the two points are dependent on each other. Mamash, right? Now I'm not sure if you're getting into the fine points of it, but before the fine points, that's definitely what he's saying.
Why does Ula have to say that it's not Chozer ben Ekdashos?
So I think that's what the Chakir the Rav was saying before. Is that you can understand that in two ways, either because the Lashon inherently isn't mashma that, but had he spelled it out that way, it would work, or that it inherently doesn't work. And therefore, spelling it out, in other words, the Lashon could mean it, but that doesn't help us because it just doesn't work, right? Do I understand enough correctly?
Okay.
Why does that have to be totally with the other thing? What just because he holds that Kedusha is Paka Bakhti, why can't he hold Chosim Vekdashis? What's forcing him not to say?
Now, when you say not hold, what do you mean over here?
You're telling me that in the case before it's chopped off, you're telling me that Ula holds that you're coded once and the Kedusha goes off and it's not Chosim Vekdashis.
So he started off right in Bar Poda. Right? How did he express it in Bar Poda? See, he told us that the reason why we hear in what he's saying that there should be a reoccurring kedusha is because it can't mean anything else. Right? That was he already set us up over there.
Right.
Right. And therefore, it follows that if it could mean something else, if it could mean that are a limited kedusha. So that's all we were hearing what he's saying. And Shain, there's not more happening. No more happening.
Because it's a very big chiddush to say chosim v'kedushas.
You keep using those words. That's what we don't know. That's
that's not what we're saying. I don't understand. Just because there's another way to teach his words, Mehechites doesn't agree with Barpado about that point. Just because there's another way. Why is it totally separate? What's forcing? Why can't he say that I wanted it to be kadosh until it's nikdashos, which means until it's nikdashos, until it's cut off? I want it to be kadosh the whole entire time, reoccurring. And I also hold that when it's cut off, kedusha pakeh
b'chdi. So let's hear. Let's hear. Say.
Why can't you say
both? So let's follow that through. How do you understand that? Right.
I want it to be a continuous kedusha until I cut it off. Why doesn't it
mean that? Yeah, okay. So I want to know according to your understanding, why is there no recurring kedusha according to Ula?
Because he says because I think what he's saying is the pashtus is when you pull to something the kedusha goes off.
The pashtus
and normally people don't want to make a recurring that the whole thing the concept that Bar Poda makes this recurring. I use the words of every Kiddush.
If you read that, I hear what you're saying, but that doesn't sound like what Moshe Cordovi is saying.
I don't understand. Why is it Tolis Zemza? Why can't it have reoccurring and then?
Because Moshe Cordovi is assuming the pashtus of the words Ad Sheyikzazu is like Ula. That's the pashtus of the words.
Right.
And if you're not forced to say something else,
exactly.
If that's what you're saying, then we all agree.
I think that because otherwise you could in theory say Ula holds until it's cut off its chosrus and dashos, it's reoccurring, and after it's cut off it's paka b'chdi. Why can't you say both? There's nothing forcing you not to say both.
Mm-hmm. Granted. I think that it might be just a very, very, very fine point over here. It sounds like that Rabbi Yohu is maybe coming from the fact that people don't do this. I'm just to see why that would be the point. Since people don't do this, like that maybe it comes from over there. That's why we wouldn't hear it in his words, unless we're forced to. Right?
That's what I'm trying to say.
And we're saying maybe a different nusach, not so much what people do, but what do the words mean? Right? Okay, a little fine point in the difference over there. Right? But I think we're all in agreement that the reason why we don't have the recurring kedusha is because that's not what he meant, right? Now, why is that not what he meant? Maybe there are two versions of understanding why that's not right. What exactly that means? Right. The words didn't mean that, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's going to have to be, that the words don't mean that, right? The question just is why, right? If the words meant that, then try not to be said, right? Selma, the words
maybe
don't mean
this comes back to a sugya we had 10 ish daf ago about how words get their meaning bechlal.
Okay.
Is it because that's what most people mean, or they have some inherent meaning?
Okay. Very good. Very good. Very good. Right. So what we're hearing now over here is that it would seem that according to Ula, the reason why in our Mishnah there's no reoccurring Kedusha, according to Maharishi Ketevi, is because that's not what we're taking out of what he said. Right? Just to say it in a general terms, right? And therefore, if you want to know that, you know, if he expressed that idea specifically, would it work according to that? Yeah, maybe it would. Maybe it would, right? Now, on the other hand, you know, you could still wonder that, do I need a source in order for this to work, right? If I need a source, Google doesn't have a source, right?
For what to work?
Because there's a recurring kedusha, right?
Ula
doesn't have a source.
Our Mishnah,
right? I'm just saying, according to the way he's learning. Okay. So, upon Ula doesn't have a source. According to Barpada, you know that's the Mishnah, right? You know, given you know his what the options over here, right? So our Mishnah is a source to that a reoccurring kedusha, you know, could work, right? According to Ula, there's no source for such a thing. Now, let's bring back the question, right? So, according to this, that if our Mishnah, according to Ula, only one thing is happening, right? That the Kedusha is being chal, and you know, if you're poided at any point, then shine, you know, then the pigeon helps, and then things are over. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah really is that without pigeon, that you're making a temporary kedusha, and the kedusha is only lasting as long as you intended it to be, and once the ktita happens, that's the extent of the kedusha. Kedusha stops, and without a pigeon.
So the Yosh question, according to Moshe Kartavi, the words "ein la'em pinyon" according to Ula mean after they're cut off.
Right.
And the whole Mishnah is coming to teach us pakabichti. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. 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 But Lachar, that question, that original question, will come back again. If so, then you have to talk pigeon, right? Because pigeon is just, you know, just a product of the Kedusha, right? So we could have said, you know, we could have referred to it as there's no Kedusha at that point. Right? So that Ha'ora, Lachar, is Chayza Vineya. Okay. Okay. Let's just talk about. We have a couple of minutes over here. Let's just try to touch a little bit on what is the issue over here of Kedusha poka bichti or not poka bichti. See, again, we're stressing like this. You know, I think Moses says it's a Kedusha Paka Bechdi. I mean, the issue really is a step before, right? That's the issue. The issue is that could I limit the extent of the original Hakdosha? So it's not just like it's Paka Bechdi. The child is, you know, it ran out. Right? That's really what it is.
Right, but I guess if it can't stop just like that, so then it continues, but memela.
Okay, but so your point really is that it can't stop. Now, no one thought that you know it's going to just be poka when it could have continued. Right, that's just what we're pointing out. like this. So now, really like this. Really like this. So what we need to know over here is like this. Is that, let's ask the question the other way, really. Right? You know, a person's making a hakdosh, right? Anytime a person, you know, makes a chalois, so the same way he could make the chalois in the first place, you know, he's giving the perimeters of what he's doing, and the power of the chalois come from him, and if he's not empowering it to that further than that, then how did it go further, right? No, so I'm asking the question the other way, right? He make a hakdosha for today, right? That's all he made it. So Taka, why is it kaddish for tomorrow? You tell me it's like paka b'chdi, but pahagufa, right? How did it go further? There's no hakdosha. We don't have the battery never you know was set
it's
up.
Not
to
in its control anymore.
Okay, let's hear.
It has kiddusha. Let's say lavada isha. She's a married lady.
So I'm not sure if that's going to help us, because we're trying to understand why, right? We're just trying to bring out a point. But what the question over here that we're asking is assuming that the life expectancy of whatever I'm doing now is dependent on how much I put in, the input. So if I never put in, you know, and there's no input further than that, how was it living longer than so, was set up?
So if you would understand it that you can only change the state, in other words, of something, but you're if you paint the wall orange, you can't paint it orange for a day, right? You have to repaint it again to do
okay.
it. So if we view that you have the ability to change its state from chol to kodesh. Right, so then it would make sense that you can't say that I'm just doing that for. I don't think I'm saying anything different than he's saying, but I think that's how he's understanding it. Is that you don't have an ability to say that it's in this state for a day. You only have the ability to say I'm changing its state.
So what I would like to know is like this: is that so? What are we answering to the question? In other words, what are we changing from the assumption? The question. The question was assuming that in order for something to live on, it has to be injected initially with that lifespan, and if it wasn't, then it can't live past that. So, what are we changing from that hanocha?
Well, maybe we're changing that. We're assuming in this that it's a kinyan that requires das. And maybe what he's suggesting is it's not really from the mechanics of Kenyan, and maybe it doesn't really require a das. It requires some level of bituis v'taim, and a certain level that was your kavana when you said the words. We had such a concept that that. That by a neder it doesn't really require full das. I don't know if you remember the reference of where actually this was in the Bar
Yeah,
Bear.
Right.
It's that Hashem makes it happen. Hashem makes the chalus. All you need is a bituis v'saim, and now it becomes the neder becomes a neder.
The famous chakira that the people joke about. Right, is that but is when you're Mekadosh and Isha, is it like you Mekadosh Kol Rega V'Rega, or you're Mekadosh and it lasts forever, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? And, the Pashtus, right, is that you're Mekadosh forever, and in order to un-Mekadosh it, you need a second Maisa to do it. So I think that's what
now, see, but what does Mekadosh forever mean? Right? That's really what we want to know. Mekadosh forever means that you're making an unlimited in time. That's what you're doing.
So again, you're not making it unlimited in time.
Oh, that's what you want to hear.
Right? You're changing it into that state, and Newton's law that anything that goes in motion stays in motion forever until something stops it. Nothing's happening afterwards to make it forever, it stays forever until something stops it from happening.
So what's the answer why the limitation that was put in is not effective?
Because there are the mechanics of making something not Kodesh isn't saying that it's not going to be Kodesh anymore. The mechanics of making something not Kodesh is doing a pidyon to it, right? So it's a meaningless statement that
you don't have the ability to limit it. You gave it the level of Kedusha, and then it continues on its own until somebody's posed. How can you limit something that has its own set of dinim and it continues on by itself? It's not in your control at that point.
But I see. I don't think it's at that point, because we're asking that before that point, right? So I think what you're saying is right, but it's not so much at that point, right?
Once you inject it with Kedusha, it continues on by itself.
And if we look at something where it doesn't work that way, right? So if I own something, I could lend it to a person till Tuesday, right? Right? That's but the reason why that works is because I own it the whole time, and I could say that from this point to this point, I'm giving these parameters of what you can do with it, and afterwards I'm not. But when you make something,
can you sell it to somebody till Tuesday?
What?
Can you sell it to somebody till Tuesday?
I'm an atlahachsu.
So that's a little different. That's because that would retroactively make the sale not good.
That's true. Right. They didn't return it by the, let's say, if you
no,
said
no,
it.
But he wants to say you rent the house. I'm selling it to you just for today. I want to retain my bylaws tomorrow.
Right. So,
yeah, this block of time, right? That's what I'm selling it to you. So it should revert back to me.
But by the very nature that by an esrog we do it on a tanai and not that way. So that indicates that you can't do it, that if you can't sell something till Tuesday.
Right, it's more right? Like a rental, it's not an ownership.
Okay, it's I'm not sure if that
it's
is the... See, that might be the answer. Not that you can't do that, but you're not going to accomplish the lochem that you need to accomplish to be yet, right?
Okay, I'm not sure if that's just rhetorical.
Isn't that the Ron specifically says this? Any Kenyan Lizman is a Kenyan Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Kenyan Aguf. That's specific.
Yeah,
I mean that's exactly what we're saying, right? So it's some kind of a Kenyan, but it's not a Kenyan Aguf.
Right,
you don't
I think
own
it. It can work. You're not gonna have to be mocking it back. But being that it's only a Kenyan Paris, so you know that's why you know it's not and not sufficient for the din of lochem that you're trying to do by with a Luvin and Esrog.
But just saying, for other things it would work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. That. If you just wanted a Kenyan Paris.
I mean, let's say you destroy it during that time.
So that's what we're saying. Your bylaws is limited, even during that time. What you could do, right? And, you know, so being that your bylaws is limited, depending on what type of bylaws you're trying to give over, right, you know, it'll be limited bylaws. If you need a greater bylaws, so then, you know, that kind of bylaws is not sufficient. Right? But, you know, if you wanted the bylaws, you know, the usage bylaws, you know, for that time, that he can't take it back, or, you know, if someone else uses it, he should have to pay you, or whatever it is, yeah, you're the bylaw of that, right?
But however it works in Mamonis, but I think what Lou is saying is that's not what's happening in Hektish. You know, you use the lesson of Kenyan Paris as compared to Gufa Kenyan, right? So that's mashma that if you're saying I'm selling you the Gufa, the item till Tuesday, that doesn't work, right? So he's saying that being Makdish something is doing something to the Gufa of the. Of the object, it's changing it into a state of kedusha.
Now, so what would happen if somebody would say that?
Well,
I maktish you the goof until Tuesday. Does that mean he gets to keep it forever, or it's not a Kenyan bichlal because it's a stira?
I would say that yeah, it's not hacked. Well, say it again. Say the lesson.
I'm machdish to you the goof of this item until Tuesday. Only until Tuesday. Machna to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, machna.
I might have misspoken. No. Yeah. I'm machna to you this item, the goof of this item until Tuesday. So what happens? Is that a nothing because it's an internal contradiction?
No,
or you keep it forever because you have the goof?
No,
I can't see the second one.
The point is that hektish is a different thing than everything else.
Right, we're not talking about hektish here, right? You're talking about...
No,
right, well, that's what we're comparing. Right. One is, okay. So he's saying hektish works differently. Good. Why?
Because there's a kedusha, and that kedusha doesn't get... that. You can't stop that kedusha and remove it just by because he wanted to give his man to it. When there's kedusha, if you're just talking about ownership, then ownership, you can give ownership for a day. But if you're talking about kedusha works differently. Once you inject with kedusha, you have to remove the kedusha through the necessary way or pidyon or whatever.
Is kedusha when you do kedushas mamon, right? Like l'dime. Is that what is the kedusha? Is it the kedusha because Hektish owns it? Or the Kedusha has nothing to do with the bialess of Hektish? Are you okay with me wording it that way?
Yeah, that's a good shaylum.
I didn't get it from myself. I'm borrowing it. You don't hear that?
I don't hear.
So you're saying that kedusha has nothing to do with the bialess of hektish. It's just kedusha is kedusha. Once it gets it, you can't control it anymore. That's the way you understand it. There's nothing to do with the fact
that... You have to move it the way the Torah tells you how you move kedusha.
Yeah. I don't look that good.
Maybe it's because the Torah tells you that once you're machdish, it belongs to hektish. And therefore, you have to remove it in a certain way.
All right. So, but instead of ula's svar,
ula holds that you just inject it with your kedusha only to a certain zman, and it's part of it. It just goes off because you didn't give it the power. The battery ran out.
So according to ula, you have the power to give a limited kedusha.
Right.
Why? Exactly. What's the difference? What's the machlokes?
They're arguing how kedusha works. They're arguing.
See, is it a question of the power, I mean, the first step, it would seem to be, it's not the flexibilization, but the first step seems to be that we're saying, according to Ula, it seems to be working like where the question is coming from, that it only has whatever I gave. It can't have more than I gave. So if I didn't give that, you know, then it ran out. Now the other side is seems to be that it's taken not limited to what I gave. Kedusha is an entity which is non-dependent on what I'm giving. I'm giving only one day's worth. But the existing of the kedusha is non-dependent of how much I give into it. Maybe the idea like Shlomo is saying, like you sort of change the status. That's what it is. Right? Such a thing. So, you know, I don't have to inject it, you know, with a year supply, you know, of kedusha to say that if I only inject it, you know, with a half a year, it'll run out. And
if someone was makdish something nowadays, right, where we, you know, Rachman al-Islam, we don't have a base of makdish, right? So that, does it have kedusha? In other words, do you need a bailus of hektish to own it, or is again, it's kedusha, an inherent state of an item. Right? If a person says that I'm being makdish, you know, this dollar to hekdish,
right?
And so nowadays, would that have been a kedusha?
So I'm not sure why we're assuming that today anything's different. But if you can get past that first step, then we can try to deal with the question. Right? How do you?
In other words, now we don't have any base of Migdash or any treasury of the base of Migdash.
Okay.
There's no one to.
That's just technical.
Right.
That's just sort of technical, right? Conceptual.
So when we say that you're being Makdash, you're making it that Hashem owns it?
That's right. You're giving to the base of Migdash, it's for Hashem. The Gizmor is not the owner. It's not his. It's not his personal stuff.
I don't know exactly. Right. So I don't know how you view being maknas something to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, I maknas this to a Kodesh Baruch Hu for a day. And then afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give it back to you?
You're owed it back from Hashem. That's what a pidyon is. Hashem described there's a way to buy it back and take the kedusha off. That's what the Torah tells us.
See, there is a discussion about this. We're saying, I think the simple understanding by Hekdish is that the kedusha is the cause of the ownership. The ownership follows the kedusha. Something that has kedusha is a cause in the monetary. The monetary should enter the rishus hakedusha. So it starts with a hakdosha, right? Which is not a hakno in the momentous. Right? It's more right. But if it has kedusha on it, that's a cause for it to bring it into the monetary rishus of hekdesh.
That would be l'kulei am, or that would be according like to more of a pada.
So you want to make it that dependent on that. So I have to hear how that would be, why that might be dependent on the mandom over here. But just the idea, the original chakira that you talked about, I think that's the pashtus. But there is taka of discussion exactly. You know what's the because there are both aspects
right.
of it, right? So is one cause the other, or you're doing two things simultaneously? Right? This was all that Stodden, which you know I had to understand what it means. Yeah, Amir Rosh Gavoyt, Amir Rosh Lehedit. You know, that is any more than this. That's discussing the.
So you're saying that first it has kedusha, and because it has kedusha, it goes to the ownership of Hekdesh.
That's, I think, the simple understanding of how it works, right? But if we
and
have
the opinion is removing the ownership of Hekdesh, or is removing
the kedusha.
It removes the kedusha.
And then you're saying if Ula could hold like that, then you could do just a kedusha l'zman.
So this I'm not sure if this is dependent on this. If you hold like this, this might be. I'm not even sure if this makes Ula easier to understand, but depending on where the difficulty is at, whether this is easier makes things easier. This is a discussion. Okay, but this is what we're just trying to see if we could locate the exact point over here is how does this sort of this concept of the fact that it's loipoka. Why is it loipoka? Okay, we're getting some ideas. Okay. I think we have to hold it over here at this point. At this point,
well, it has to do with the kedusha, obviously.
What?
Kedusha is preventing it from being paka. It's not because of ownership; it's because of kedusha.
Yeah, l'chol. Mm-hmm. Right. Monetary ownership, right? Possibly, is not limited. Right? So maybe even in the hektish monetary ownership, that's not what the issue is. The issue over here is the Havkos Kedusha, and that's something that can't be limited, and therefore the momentous remains. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Let's hold over.